Hello, and welcome to From Grown to Great, a business, aviation, and personal growth podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Ruiz Jimenez, and today I have Priya Joshi. Priya Joshi is a UC Davis student with a major in economics, as well as also a major in psychology. Without further ado, this is Priya Joshi. Hey, how are you
Thanks for
doing today?
having me. I'm good.
Good. Well, I'm really excited that you came on to the podcast. If for some people that may not know, Freya Joshi is my girlfriend, so I'll probably stop saying Joshi and just say Freya. But it is really good to have you. I've been wanting to have you come on for a really long time, so I'm glad we're
Yeah.
Well, Freya, do you want to say just kind of a little background about yourself, what you currently do? For the people that may not know you.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, I'm at UC Davis and I'm double majoring in technically managerial economics. There's like a slight distinction at UC Davis, but a majority of my major is economics, as well as psychology. And then on campus, I'm like doing things that are kind of taking me towards a marketing career. So I'm involved with UC Davis Picnic Day, which is, for those of you who don't know, UC Davis hosts this huge open house in April every year. It's been a tradition. This is the 111th picnic day. And I basically do all of the marketing and publicity for that. I'm also in a professional business and economics fraternity, Phi Chi Theta, and I'm currently on the Pledge and Rush Committee for that.
Oh, nice. And so what made you go into managerial economics, UC Davis, even college for any reason?
Yeah, so I think growing up, I kind of always knew I wanted to go to college just because it seemed like the path that made sense. Like it was the thing that my parents were always like, oh, you have to, go to college. And I wasn't the biggest fan of my hometown, and I knew I wanted to kind of move out of there and branch out. So it kind of seemed like college was the way to do that. And I chose UC Davis because I came from a pretty small town. I think the population is around 6,000. So my other options were kind of towards like LA area. And I feel like that would have been a little bit more overwhelming for me because it's such a huge shift. But UC Davis kind of seemed like a good in between where, like, when I visited the campus and the town, it's called like California's college town for a reason. Like, everyone around you is kind of a student and we're all in this like bubble, I guess you could call it, where everyone kind of seems welcoming, and it's a good, like, it's a little bit bigger than my hometown for sure, but it still feels very like community oriented. So I think that's ultimately why I chose UC Davis.
So what are you working on now? I know you said you were studying UC Davis for Picnic Day. Spirit kind of gave a background about that. But growing up in Davis, it's this huge thing where not only people that are students attend, everyone from Davis attends, and it's this huge kind of open house where people go and a lot of different groups or even interests. Around UC Davis, set up different events or informational meetings, and it's kind of an activity for family as well as students. What kind of things are we looking to expect for that, or if you're allowed to talk about that, or how has your role been currently as a UC Davis Picnic Day marketing director?
Yeah, so for Picnic Day, like I said, it's been a tradition for so long. So there's the things that you're always gonna expect. Our main events are like Doxy Derby, which is this like huge event that takes place with dogs that people really love. And then there's like Chemistry Show, Davis Dance Revolution, there's the Battle of the Bands. So all those groups are gonna be back this year. And then we have a student organization fair, which is like a bunch of student organizations come and they can do different things on the quad. So they can tell people and try to recruit about the organization. They can try to fundraise. This year they're trying to add more of a interactive event, like interactive events to student organization fair. So they're trying to do like different games and stuff between organizations where people can win prizes, so it's more interactive. But yeah, it's a huge thing. Like it goes on from 9 a.m. We have the parade, which is another big thing, that kind of loops around, and people can it's that part is pretty much open to everyone. And that starts off picnic day, and then it ends around 5 p.m. For my role specifically, I manage all of the social media, and then I make like anything related to the press. So I've written like a press release, I do newsletters. Especially closer to picnic day, people want to interview us, so I'm a part of those interviews. And yeah, I basically try to get the word out there. And on social media, it's very like student oriented, but we also have families and sponsors to keep in mind. So there's still that family friendly image. So it's kind of like finding a balance between what's fun and what's something that if someone was sponsoring picnic day, they wouldn't be upset that this was like kind of associated with them. But the community itself within picnic day is really great. I feel like it's a very unique work environment to where a lot of the time it doesn't even feel like work. It's a completely student run event. So like the people I work with are genuinely like my friends now, and we have so much fun together, and it's a very good environment to be able to grow. I came in last year as a business assistant director, and the business team basically gets all the sponsorships and funding for UC Davis or PIP for Picnic Day. And I decided to come back kind of with the greater responsibility because I wanted to play a bigger part in contributing to it, and also because it aligns so well with what I wanted to do career-wise anyway. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me to apply for the position.
Nice. So you mentioned a little about business. So what kind of things have you been actively a part of taking these leadership roles in Picnic Day that you feel like you could apply to any cross-form platform that entails business? Does
Yeah,
that make sense?
I feel like I've learned a lot of different skills and professionalism. So I write a ton of emails every day. So just learning how to talk to people in that way, getting back to people in a timely manner. I respond to the DMs on the page. So again, keeping that like brand image. Last year, I mentioned that I would help get sponsorship funding through businesses. So we were in contact with a lot of businesses. So I would do like I would call them, I would email them, we went in person. So kind of having that like pitch ready of like if you go in person, how to go about it and how to kind of establish like who you are, so they're not like, what are these random kids in my business right now, like trying to harass the manager. So you kind of keep their attention and they want to keep talking to you. So I think a lot of the things that I've learned, as well as just like time management, like I said, I'm a full-time student. And I have a couple of different things going on. So I feel like being able to kind of lock in is important, like in life in general and in business, to be able to get to where you want to get going. So I feel like those are the main things. I also, right now, I manage a team. So I'm learning how to kind of delegate tasks and give like constructive criticism and kind of move people towards like a common goal, I guess.
How do you go about going in person and acquiring any fundraising or any funds? It's kind of hard to, especially as a young person. I've had times where I have to go in person for business related reasons. My friend and I own a vending machine business, and a lot of the time, maybe older adults or just adults in general won't take you as seriously. Have you had any experience with that? If so, do you come prepared ahead of time with a script, or how have you seen that affect any kind of variabilities that you may encounter and when you're presenting for fundraising?
So in terms of preparation, we would kind of like know what we would say going into it. So we would be like, again, we'd have our materials prepared. So we would have like the sponsorship package ready, and we would kind of have like a gist of what it was so we could give people like a quick walkthrough or if they had any questions about it then. And then we would just kind of go in and be like, hi, we're part of UC Davis Picnic Day. And I think it helps that that is pretty established within Davis and we are going to businesses in Davis. So we already had that kind of sense of credibility. And then we would be like, is there a manager we could talk to? And then either they would say no and we'd be like, okay, would we be able to get like their email or business card or something? And that got us, you know, one step further than we started because then we had someone we could email that we didn't have before to ask through there. And then if there was a manager there, we'd basically be like, yeah, I don't know if you've heard about Picnic Day. We'd give them a little gist of it just to get them on the same page. And there's like 75,000 attendees, so it is pretty like desirable for people because it is a lot of exposure. And since it is Davis-based businesses and a majority of the people who come are from the greater Davis area, it is like a relevant exposure, I guess you could call it. So we go in there, we tell them our gist, we'd be like, we have all these sponsorship packages, you could get, you know, this for this amount, you can get like a la carte items, blah blah blah. And then from there they'd either be like, oh yeah, could you email this to me? I could take a greater look at it. They'd be like, no, I'm not interested. And I think at the end of the day, it also just comes back to not being afraid of trying and not being afraid of getting that no. Because obviously sometimes they're gonna be kind of mean to you and be like, no, I don't want to do this. And then you're just like, all right. And then, you know, you leave and you go on to the next. And I think just like not getting in your head about it.
Yes, absolutely. And something that you mentioned that I really like is that when I would go, and my friend and I would go to different businesses and try to get people to understand what we do, it is really important to know exactly what you're talking about and how it would benefit the company or the person that's trying to sponsor. In my case, it would be put a vending machine in for them. In your case, it would be having a place where people can notice that they contributed to a really large event, and get that really big exposure that a small business definitely would want. So that is great to hear that if you get a no right away, it's still trying to get information out, but know that it's okay, you can move on. Something I like to add too is if someone says no, asking if they know anybody in mind, if they would be interested in wanting to work with us, or any recommendations on who would be willing to hear us out in your pitch. So I think that's a great idea. It's being able to kind of know ahead, know what you're talking about, have a game plan, know who to talk to. And it sounds right, like in these small businesses, there's not really a gatekeeper because it's just mostly people that are willing to help and want to help out, as opposed to bigger companies. Sometimes you might have to go through more hurdles and hoops to just be able to talk to the person that makes the decision to be able to get a mutual benefit, something that would benefit the both of you guys.
Yeah.
So that's cool to hear that.
Yeah.
So right now you have 2 more years left. What kind of things do you plan on looking at? Does UC Davis offer any routes that make it easier to transition from college life to a work life or something bigger? Is there a path that Davis helps kind of, form for you to transition, or what are you looking at there?
Yeah, in terms of campus resources, I mean, being at a pretty large, like, I guess, like prestigious university, there are a lot of opportunities, both in terms of like we'll have career fairs where people come in, or there's a lot of organizations on campus where you can gain a lot of the skills that employers are looking for. Like I mentioned the whole picnic day thing, I'm gaining a lot of skills that will then help me get internships and jobs. So it's a lot of opportunities at once. We have like internship and career centers and all of that stuff. We have counselors that I've had look at my resume before. But I think it's kind of just about being self-sufficient and seeking things out wherever you are. I have like so many opportunities before me, right? But no one's gonna hold my hand and be like, oh, here's this laid out for you, right? Like I have to go and try and do it myself. So I try to remind myself how lucky I am to be in this position where I have so much going on. But yeah, like the campus has like the general things that campuses have to try to prepare you career-wise. But I think a lot of the preparedness comes from what you do outside of class. Especially in my career, managerial economics is our business major. I think they're implementing a business major this year or next year. But this was kind of their middle ground to where, like I said, a majority of my major is economics, but kind of further down, we take more like management collaboration type classes. So for that field specifically, what you do outside matters more than what you do in the classroom.
And it sounds like you're definitely going outside of that classroom time, trying to meet people in person, working and delegating with others to gain those skills that necessarily being behind a desk won't always get you. So that's really good to hear. Yeah. I want to shift a little bit the conversation, I guess, to something more personal, since we are dating. Obviously, I just kind of wanted to hear your thoughts, and for people also that are listening, Bree and I are like 3,000 miles apart, I think a little less, California to Florida. I'm in Florida right now, and I kind of wanted to hear your side, and obviously I'll contribute to how is one able to kind of balance and be able to handle a long distance relationship. Do you feel like it's affected your school or anything like that? Yeah.
Obviously like long distance sucks. I think anyone who's in a long distance relationship is like, this is kind of the worst thing ever. Why am I so far from the person I love? I think what helps is that we are both busy and we do kind of have our separate lives. And so like obviously I think about you all the time, but there's other things to kind of distract me from the pain. And then, I mean, I think we have really good communication, and we're really good at listening to each other. Like, if Daniel at the beginning of our relationship started implementing these monthly meetings where we would basically talk about the relationship in depth, and it's like a stop, continue, start, and you can say the fourth thing. I'm blanking on it right now. But basically, we write down like the specifics of our relationship and how it's going, and it's a check-in point. And I think both of us are really good at hearing each other's feedback and actually trying to change. Because I think that's at the end of the day, long distance or not, how a lot of relationships fail is like you try to bring something up to your partner and they don't take it seriously. And over time, that's just kind of like accumulate and probably end the relationship or fizzle out or whatever. So I think we try to call each other whenever we can. FaceTime is definitely better than texting. I'm more of a texter than Daniel is. So like, and I kind of like giving him updates throughout my day. So I've told him it's important for him to acknowledge those texts, at least even if we're FaceTiming. So yeah, I think we generally have good communication. And I think long distance is bad if you don't think you're with the right person. And I think it, if you're not with the right person, it kind of amplifies issues. But like there's that old saying, distance makes the heart grow fonder. Because I'm constantly missing you and I don't have the opportunity to always be around you, I think I appreciate the time we have together more. And mentally, it's like a, oh, I really love this guy because I'm 3,000 miles away from him and I'm still like 100% into this thing. So yeah, those are my thoughts. What would you like to add?
Yeah, I think that it's really cool that you mentioned the monthly meeting that we do and check in. I told someone about that, and I think you were there, but I'm not sure if this was the person that that recognized that or not. So we were with had a friend. We were with a friend at a hot tub. He was showing us our new apartment or his new apartment, and we told him that we were doing the start, stop, change, continue, which I got from a book called Neuro-linguistic Programming: The Essential Guide. Definitely mentioned it before in the podcast. It's a great one. Great book if you haven't gotten it already. But he was saying that since he went through school and he does he's not he went through kind of like a therapy, so psychology background, but right now he's a student counselor. He would say that a lot of people, or I believe it was him that said that, it's not someone else, that that people that are like going in, it wasn't him, but okay, there's someone else, but people that actually are in a marriage that or relationship that is starting to show like any like miscommunication or argument, that like marriage therapists would actually incorporate that exactly. And so when I told that person, they're like, whoa, you're doing something even before, anything bad happens, right? Right. It's a kind of like preventative measure. But really, I think it's really important to just listen to people, and especially listen to your partner, and see what they're doing, how they're feeling, if you're doing anything that, they don't like, what can you do to change it, and keeping in mind that it's like, in the best interest of each other. Right. So I'm really glad you said that. I also miss you a lot. And it's hard for me to balance spending time with you over the phone or texting and then doing work at the same time. But I think I just like you so much that I just do it anyway, But yeah, definitely my work is like really demanding. Yesterday wasn't as bad, but I'll have days. Right now it's really cold, so a lot of people are flying. People don't know I'm an aviation mechanic for a flight school, so we're having to work with a lot of airplanes that come in and out and doing a lot of inspections, making sure that everything is changed in accordance with FAA regulations and the maintenance manual. So it can get pretty hectic and pretty stressful at times. And so sometimes all you want to do is just go home and then just, do anything to kind of keep your mind off of very intensely focused work that can also potentially include high stress moments, but actually I've noticed that my mood has improved significantly being in a different environment than just work. And that was, and I think that also helps with the relationship too. You said staying busy. I started doing jujitsu again. So after like 2 months of not doing it, or 3 months, I started, with work and everything. That was the only thing I was doing. And also trying to get some business ideas. I'm always coming up with business ideas. I'm so serious, tired of it. But I started jujitsu again, and I really feel my mood like significantly improving. And I think it's because it's one of those things that you're working towards a common goal of, everyone's kind of better themselves. You're in an environment where it is kind of a mentorship between everyone else, and that, your higher ranking belts and lower ranking belts, everyone wants to see you succeed. And it really is against yourself. Obviously, you get smacked because people like, are better than you, and you get into a position where you don't want to be in. But it is also kind of a situation where you're in the moment, you're fighting, and you have to still think really clear-headed of as like, and feel the other person's body movements as like, trying to feel, where do I fit? What can I do in this position? And it really does translate to everything, including relationships too. It's like listening to each other, figuring out where we're feeling each other, what kind of places in the based on the situation that has put us on, what can I do to get out of this, or work together to kind of move around and direct in, and even in this high-paced life that people live all the time, it's kind of always kind of think of one step ahead and being really fluid with your movements and thoughts. So that actually has helped, and I think it actually has helped, with our relationship too, if you believe it or not. But yeah, I think it's because of me, because my personal mood has definitely been better, which
Yeah,
allowed
I've
me to.
definitely noticed that since you went back, you've been happier.
Which lets me be able to appreciate like spending time with you more, which overall it just helps me be more productive in general. I don't like the term like being busy because I'm reading this book right now, like the 4-hour work week. It's like literally like how to not be busy, but just being productive and doing the things that you want to do and making sure that you're able to accomplish them.
Yeah.
Have you been reading any kind of books lately that you've, or anything that you've read or anything that has maybe kind of shifted or changed your point of view or something that you wanted to implement because of reading it?
I haven't been reading anything like recently because I don't know, I should be better about it. Like, this is definitely an excuse. But I'm like, I have enough readings to do for my classes. When I'm done
True.
doing work, I don't want
Sometimes
to
you just
read more.
wanna, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like in the past, like I've talked about this with you before, but my freshman year, I had pretty bad social anxiety. I think just because of the big shift between like high school and college. And I think the beginning of my college experience wasn't exactly how I pictured it, and whatever was the cause of it, I had pretty bad social anxiety. I was like not really doing anything. I was like staying in my dorm. And then I was like, okay, this sucks. I don't want to do this. I don't want to live like this anymore. And then I went on a little like self-improvement kick, and I started reading a couple of books on like how to get over anxiety. And from that, like a couple of key points is basically, like in your brain, when you're afraid of something, like we obviously have like evolved, and we're like, we have like those primal instincts to avoid fear and avoid things where we could be put in danger. So even if it's going to something or going up and talking to somebody, for some reason, if that's like causing fear in my brain and I continue to avoid it, I'm kind of reinforcing the cycle in my brain because I'm avoiding it, and then I feel a sense of safety. So the next time I try to do it, it's just gonna keep getting worse and worse and worse. So I feel like after I read that, I was like, okay, I just have to go and do it. And I think going to the experiences that you're afraid of, and then seeing that nothing really bad happened, like I had a good time, it starts to kind of rewire your brain to be like, oh, I don't really need to be afraid of this anymore. So I think another thing I read that resonated that I think of sometimes is that anxiety and I think it's excitement are technically like the same feeling. So just like rethinking about like, oh, I'm so scared to do this. No, I'm actually so excited to do this. That's why I'm shaking and my heart is beating. So just kind of reframing those sorts of things, putting yourself in situations because your brain learns on behavior. So you actually just have to like make the push and do it. And since all of that, I'm pretty much like good. Like obviously there's some times where I can get anxious, but I think overall like I'm able to go about my day-to-day life and not really have it affect me anymore. So
Well, I think you have definitely been a great example of that because I've never really seen you as having any kind of anxiety. And obviously, that was a really big part of you because you've mentioned it several times. And I think you do show areas where you are getting out of your comfort zone and recognizing that. If you are to reinforce a habit in your brain, it's really like strengthening. Like imagine like you have point of talking to someone and not doing it and the feeling of safety. every time you have a situation where you are like going through that, imagine like maybe it starts off as a string, right? And it's only a string connecting these two things together in your brain. But the next time you go and avoid it, now maybe it's three to four, five, right? And that becomes a rope. And then every time you keep avoiding it, it reinforces it. Now it's a really thick rope. And so now when you actually want to overcome it, it's actually really difficult for your brain to want to do that. And that's the same thing kind of with addiction, right? Or any kind of habit. It's the same thing of reinforcing the same thing over and over again. And your brain just gets used to it because it likes to take shortcuts and ways of thinking. So if it's done, the body or the mind has done something in the past, it's going to want to do it again in the future. Just that as a an easy path, not wanting to take a harder path. Just how we're wired. Same thing with electricity. It always wants to take the path of least resistance. So I kind of think of that as the mind as well. But I
Yeah.
think you, yeah, I think you definitely go out of your, you know, your way and overcome certain situations. And it's really great hearing you do that constantly. When you let me know about certain, you know, accomplishments or stuff, like you recently you're able to create and gather a bunch of people for this event so people can know, or for this informational meeting night that it was your idea and you literally got an idea and you executed it. And I really think in business it really applies the same thing where it's not really about an idea, which ideas are great because that's how all these amazing things are made around us. But it's really up to the person that is able to actually create that and how fast you're able to create that into reality. It's not just having an idea in your mind, but implementing and executing it to really just get the ball rolling. And those are the people that I remember in history. So I'm really excited to see you do what you do and continuing to see yourself put yourself in difficult situations. Clearly, you chose, I'm sure, a long distance relationship because that is a difficult situation that you want to overcome. Kidding, but you know, it's been really great having you on and being able to kind of hear a more personal side of, you know, to the viewers of me and getting them to meet you and just seeing what you're doing and everything is really admirable. So.
Thank you.
So much for coming on to the show. If anyone wants to reach out to you or you know what you're doing, what's the best way to reach out? Or if maybe people are interested in Picnic Day, what's the best way for people to know more about that?
For me personally, my email is shriyajoshi4@gmail.com. So SRIYAJOSHI4@gmail.com. For Picnic Day, we have an Instagram. You should follow it.
That's for your run.
They're like we post updates on there, and there's like a link tree to different applications and stuff. We also have a website that has all the information on there. Soon there will be like the schedule of events and everything, so you know actually what's going on in case you want to come to Picnic Day. That'd be pretty cool. And yeah, our my work email is also on the website, so.
Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today. It's been a pleasure. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for having
Yeah, of course. This is From Ground to Great, a business aviation and personal growth podcast with your host, Daniel Ruiz Jimenez, signing out.